If you have your Bible tonight, turn back to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. You have your place, stand with honor to read to God's Word. For sake of time, we'll just read one verse, and then we'll try to give you what God's laid on our hearts. Nehemiah chapter 2, back in verse 17. The Bible says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." I want to preach on this thought tonight for just a little while, if God will be my help, on looking beyond the rubbish. Looking beyond the rubbish. As we look at this and we think about Nehemiah, and we've looked at him several times, and we wonder why Nehemiah never got discouraged. I think sometimes we get discouraged, but if we've got the Lord, He'll help us to work through our discouragement. As I looked around here lately in a lot of different situations, it seems like a lot of folks is up. The old world and the flesh and the things that we run up against tend to be discouraging. But as we look at this tonight, and I was reading through Nehemiah, and I'm hooked, you might as well just hang on, because I can't get out of Nehemiah. He keeps a touching my heart, and every time he touches my heart, I wanted to reach out and touch yours too. And so as we look at this and we see Nehemiah as he's trying to work this thing, and he's trying to line this thing out with the help of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he gave us an example of not being caught up in self and selfishness, but friend, and selfish means. But he was looking to do the will of the Lord, and he was looking to bring glory to the God of glory. Amen. And we see Nehemiah as he begins to look around, he begins to evaluate the circumstances, and he begins to see some things. And as we look at Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, and neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon." But now watch this. He said, "I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls." Amen. He said, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, and there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook, and viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate to the valley, and so returned. I want you to see this evening, that in Nehemiah's life, praise God, it wasn't all that great and glorious stuff that we think of being a child of God ought to be. But we see Nehemiah that he even in a discouraging time, and a discouragement should have been there, could have been there. But Nehemiah went out, and the Bible says that he viewed the walls. Amen. You know what? I got a whole... the boy just jumped out at me when I read this. Praise God. The Bible said he viewed the wall. All this rubbish and all this decay that was all around there, but he didn't see all that. Praise God. He looked beyond that and he viewed the walls. He was looking for places to start rebuilding. He was looking for a place to begin to seek those foundations, to begin that new life, praise God, to begin that new way, to begin that new day. Now he could have got caught up in looking at the rubbish. All the rubbish out there could have been overwhelming. Hey, listen, today in our lives, the rubbish in our lives can be overwhelming. The rubbish in our lives can get in our way and obscure our view. Amen. The Bible said that he left his horse there, praise God. He scrambled over the rubbish, praise God, that he could view the walls. Amen. If we ain't careful, we get to look at the rubbish and we get discouraged. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I want to say it, the weakening of our effort, praise the Lord, brings us discouragement. The effect of discouragement that we have. And discouragement is a great force. A discouragement will keep us from pressing on. Sometimes if we ain't careful, it'll cause us to turn back. Amen? Oh, my discouragement is almost sometimes like a roaring, raging river. Praise the Lord. We get to it and we can't realize in our mind that it's just a short thing, but praise God, and this too will pass. Amen. But we get caught up in that. It seems like such a great force. It's insurmountable. We can't get over it. Amen. And it seems like everybody that we know, all of Nehemiah's enemies, they grabbed a hold of this right quick. Amen. Nehemiah's enemies grabbed a hold of this and discouragement, praise God. It works well. If you want to get somebody to stop, you don't want to get somebody to go in a different direction, all you got to do is come along and get them discouraged. I told you a story about a fellow I used to work with. He'd come into work on the night shift, come in at 11 o'clock, and by 12 o'clock, them old boys would get to tell him how sick he looked and how bad he looked, and by midnight, he'd be going to house sick. Huh? Yeah, because they brought discouragement upon him and he allowed it to overshadow to the point of making him sick. And he'd go to the house, sick as could be. That's what discouragement will do. Discouragement is contagious. Discouragement will rub off on people. Amen? But praise God, and Nehemiah's enemies, they knew that. Praise the Lord. They call attention to the discouragement. I want to show you something. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now watch this. Ain't that what discouragers do? They just make fun, put you down. Although, if anybody tries to do a good work, they're going to make fun of it. They're going to put it down. They're going to try to stop it. Amen? And he said that he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? He said, what do they think they're doing? Bunch of feeble Jews. Now the amazing thing to me, he said, he calls them feeble Jews. He said, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive? Now watch this. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Amen. You see what they do? The discouragers come along and they don't even recognize the walls that's already in a building. Amen. They won't even recognize the wall, praise God. The foundation's been laid and the walls are coming up. No, the discouragers will never recognize that. But they recognize that rubbish pile. They said, will these old feeble Jews, will they be able to resurrect anything out of all this rubbish? You know what's wrong with those discouragers, praise God? Because the only thing they can see is the rubbish. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad for folks that can look beyond the rubbish. Glory be to God. It makes a difference when we can look about beyond the rubbish. But we see the Jews, they got, if you look over back over here in Nehemiah 4, they got caught up in it too. They got caught up in this discouragement and they begin to complain. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. And Judah said, that's the Jews, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much, what? Rubbish. So that we are not able to build the wall. See how discouragement creeps. They said, hey, these Jews, just old feeble Jews, why are they trying to raise up something out of nothing, trying to raise up rubbish and make something good out of it? And somebody over against the wall, Brother Rex, was listening. Huh? That's the way it usually happens. People begin to get discouraged because they begin to listen, they hear somebody else is discouraged. Amen. And so they begin to get stirred, and they said, you know what? He said, we're just out of strength here. The strength is gone. The strength of the bearers is decayed. He said, we have no strength for the work. Amen. It's just like all of a sudden our strength. He said, we're not strong enough to continue this work. God help us, never say within ourselves, praise God, that we're not strong enough as long as we've got the good God of glory on our side. We have all power in heaven and earth. And the old devil in the flesh comes along and says, well, you ain't strong enough. You ain't strong enough to quit that. You ain't strong enough to go another way. You ain't strong enough to repent of that and change directions. You say, I know I'm not devil, but my God is. Amen. He'll turn me around and he'll turn me around again. Praise the Lord. How do you know? Because he done it before. Amen. Praise God. He said, we ain't got no strength for this. He said, you know what? He said, we're not making no progress. That's a theme that the devil ring in our ears. Oh, you're try pastoring a church. You're try preaching. Oh, devil, he'll throw that load on you about every time. Why don't you just give up? You ain't making no progress. Amen. Man, Brother Rick, ain't nobody listening. Nobody wants to hear it anyway. Amen. Kind of like Sunday school teaching and singing and trying to praise the Lord. Amen. You look out over a congregation and they look like a bunch of sheep looking at a new gate. Amen. And you say, and if you ain't careful, praise God, the old devil will bring you up. You say, you know what? You ain't making no progress. Amen. Glory be to God. Hey, listen, the Bible says it's not about the response of the people. It's faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. If I was looking for a response to be satisfied, I'd have quit a long time ago. Amen. But he didn't call me for a response. He called me to just be faithful to him. Amen. And then he moves folks for the response. Praise the Lord for his glory. Amen. Praise God. So I said, we're not strong enough. He said, we're not making any progress. So what's the use? Amen. Ain't that what the devil says? Well, you're not doing any better. So what's the use? That's the first thing he'll tell you when he tries to get you out of church. Amen. Say amen to old me. Amen. First thing he'll do is say, well, you don't seem like you're getting any better. You're not much better person you was. You might as well just quit. Amen. And he gets you out and he'll keep you out. He says, well, you ain't doing no good anyway. You might as well be who you want to be. Well, that's a lie of the devil. Amen. But praise God, God moves in. He begins to do a mighty work into you, even to the saving of your soul, glory to God. And next thing you know, you're praising Him and giving Him glory, headed for God's house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't help it's in you, glory to God. Amen. Praise His holy name. So He said that they're not making no progress. And then they come up and said, we are not able to build the wall. Amen. See how the devil plays that? First thing he does is, well, you know, you just ain't strong enough. You ain't got the strength. He said, Miss Margie, you said, you know, you got some health issue. You might as well just stay at the house. Amen. It don't matter if better people's good heart's good to see at the house of God. Amen. He'll say, you know what? You ain't got no strength. Amen. You ain't making no difference. Amen. Praise God, you might as well just stay at the house. And then the next thing you know, they say, you're just not able to do anything any good anyway. Amen. You know what he's trying to do? He's got to get you discouraged. Just go crawl in a hole somewhere. You know what happens when you go and crawl in a hole somewhere? You die. Amen. You die. You die physically, but you die spiritually. And God never intended to be that way. But the old author of discouragement, he comes along, which is the devil. Amen. God never does anything to discourage. Hello? It's always the devil. It's this old flesh. He messes with this old flesh. Amen. And he causes discouragement to come in. And the next thing you know, there's a couple cousins to discouragement. You know what they are? Number one is apathy. Amen. He has apathy come in and he says, you know what? He said, just don't worry about it. Just become unconcerned. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Just get to a point that you don't really care. Amen. Boy, that's a pitiful place to be. But that's what discouragement does. That's a cousin to discouragement. He said, hey, you know what? You get discouraged, you get down, you get dissuaded. He said, so just get to a place where you're unconcerned, where you just don't care. Amen? And our old flesh will rise up that boy. It'll like that. Well, I just won't worry about it. I just won't care. If I don't worry about it and I don't care about it, it'll just go away. Yeah, them little old children, they'll go away and the devil will get them and drag them off into the pit of hell. Huh? Your family will go to hell. Your family will fall apart. Your loved ones will be dragging off into pit by the devil and by the snare of the devil. Amen. But see, that's one of the cousins of discouragement is apathy. We get to the point that we're just unconcerned. And we don't really care anymore. I wonder how many of us have got to the point, just almost to the point of apathy, where we just don't really care. Amen. God help a church that don't really care. See, if we don't care, then we can't help nobody. But praise God, when we do care, praise God, there's power from above. It overflows us. We're filled with that power. We're filled with the Spirit, praise God, that we won't encourage someone. But another cousin to discouragement is paralysis. He paralyzes you. It just paralyzes. It makes you to the point that you just want to stop and do nothing. Amen. That's a cousin to discouragement. You see where I'm going? The cousins to discouragement, amen. Apathy and paralyzation, praise God. It just brings you to the point of just stop, sit still, just watch it, and hey, if it ever gets really good, I'll jump in. But you ever think it maybe, praise God, there's somebody that's a watching you say, you know what, when they get back in, I'm going to get back in. Amen. Maybe they're having a service and they're watching you and they're saying, you know what, if old brother such a, he gets up and testifies, I'm going to testify. Amen. But if we get to that point of paralyzation, that cousin to the discouragement, we sit there and we just say, you know what, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to show up and God bless me if you can. I don't really care. Huh? Right. Amen. Yeah. Don't you get quiet on me. Right. Amen. You get there and you say, well, Lord, just bless me if you can. I ain't even going to listen. Amen. Yeah. Oh, me. Because somebody's hurt your feelings. I'm trying to figure out when we start running on feelings. Amen. We come to the house of God to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, praise God. It's time to forget about our little petty feelings, praise God, and worship the Lord and get to the point of where we'll not be discouraged. Amen. We'll not be apathetic. Praise God. We'll not be paralyzed. Praise God. We're going to march on because that's what soldiers of the Lord do. We keep pressing on, praise God, because we've got a mark and a finish line. Praise the Lord. Ain't no place to quit. Amen. Praise God. Discouragement, apathy. Said, hey, you know what? We ain't got no chance here. Praise God. But old Nehemiah, praise God, he just keep pressing on. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, God, God of glory. But you know what happens? They got tired. These folks got tired. Amen. Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing. Amen. It comes a time when you, a time in your life, and I've told you before, Bible said you got to come apart before you come apart. Amen. You know where you're at. You know what, you say, well, preacher, what are you, well, you're talking about just being apathetic and paralyzed and discouraged and just coming out. No, I'm talking about, praise God, getting on your face somewhere before God. I'm talking about getting a hold of Him and saying, oh, God, I need some strength. I need some renewing. I need some reviving. I need some refilling. I need some refreshment from the throne of grace. Amen. Come apart from the world, praise God, so you don't come apart in the world. Amen. Come out and shout, praise God. Amen. Get your joy back. Amen. We ain't careful. We'll let the old devil steal our joy. Huh? And if the devil can get our joy, praise God, you know what? What he takes with it? He takes happiness and contentment, satisfaction. He takes all those things when he can steal our joy. And our joy, the Bible says our joy is in the Lord. It's the only place you'll find true joy. Is in the Lord. I've done my chair. I've looked around for all over different places to see if I could be happy, see if I could have joy. And I told you, I found out everything about happiness depends on what happens. It's a moment-to-moment thing. But praise God, with the joy in my heart, glory to God, it don't matter what happens around me. I can lift up my arm, lift up my voice, and say, glory be to God. And feel good about it. Amen. With joy down in my soul, but we get tired. Amen. And when we get tired, we lose our vision. Amen. Sometimes we get tired, we get just wore out, and we forget about what we're working on, don't we? Amen. They didn't realize, they forgot They forgot that they weren't just working for themselves, that they were working for God. See, it wasn't Nehemiah that was looking for glory in this. Nehemiah was working for the good God of glory. Amen. That he might bring him glory that he had rebuilt for him. But if we ain't careful, we get tired. They got tired. They lost their vision. When they lost their vision, they lost their strength. Their strength began to slip away. Amen. When your spiritual strength begins to slip away, you know what happens? You get the feeling that you're losing control. Hello? Hello? When you start losing your spiritual strength, amen, when it feels like it starts slipping away, you feel like you're losing control. It's the same thing with our physical life. When we start losing our strength, when we don't have the hold that we think we ought to have, amen, we start that hold that we thought we had starts slipping away, amen, we begin to lose control. Amen, nobody wants to lose control. Everybody likes to stay in control. Amen. So that's why we ought to be controlled by the greatest force on earth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. When He begins to control us, and He never loses control. Amen. He's always in control. These fellows stood out there, these discouragers, and they said, you know what? He said, if a fox runs across that thing, it's going to fall down. You know, always being negative. Amen. But the good God of glory built that thing, and he said, well, you go ahead and run your foxes across here. Praise God. He said, the good God of glory, He said, I've got this. Amen. And He built that thing. Why? Because they was looking beyond the rubbish. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah said, you know what? We just got to keep looking beyond the rubbish. Praise God. Nehemiah had the answers. He found the answers. The Bible says, it teaches here, said he looked beyond the rubbish. What did he do? The Bible says he viewed those walls. Amen. And he had a vision. He saw the walls rebuilt as magnificent or bigger and better than they ever were before. Amen. If he had been like us, he would have got discouraged by those discouragers and he would have said, what's the use? Look at all this rubbish. How can we ever... That's what them... They said they got tired and weird. They said, look at all this rubbish. How can we get rid of this rubbish? Amen. You know how to get rid of the rubbish? Just begin to build the foundation block. Just begin to dig them foundation blocks out of it. And that rubbish pile, it goes down real quick when you start taking them great old big foundation stones out of it. Amen. Praise God, we ought to be looking not to the rubbish pile, but for those foundation stones, which in Christ Jesus, so that we can begin to build. Praise God for Him. Those foundation stones out of the rubbish, praise God. But if we ain't get very careful, we lose our vision, all we see is that rubbish pile. You know, your rubbish pile, that rubbish pile of your life, amen, that rubbish pile that's in our lives, that rubbish pile that consumes us, that rubbish pile that rises up while we're at work, you know, all those things that so easily beset us and get our focus on something else, amen, they distract us, amen, not only at work, but our children we have, amen, the rubbish pile of our children. If we ain't careful, we get caught up in all their faults and their failures and their shortcomings. And I won't say our children are just like me and you. Amen. The fruit don't fall. I told the fellow today, the fruit don't fall too far from the tree. Amen. But praise God, when we start building up out of the rubbish, praise God, and we start looking at who they can be. Amen. We ought to look at our children. We ought to look at these young people and say, you know what? It's not what they are now, but what they can be for the glory of God. I would to God, God raise up some pastors and deacons and teachers and Sunday school teachers and missionaries, preachers and preacher wives, amen, for God's glory. But if we ain't careful, we'll get looking at the rubbish that they're running around in instead of looking at the glory that God designed them to be. Amen. We got to look beyond the rubbish so that we can see that little old soul that's in there that needs help from the Lord. Praise God. But if we ain't careful, our lives... Praise God, it's just our life, we get caught up in it. We get caught up in the rubbish at the house. The things that's around the house that take up our time and take up our efforts. Instead of saying, Lord God, I'm glad, I thank you, Lord, for what you give me. I thank you, Lord, for what I'm allowed to have for your glory. So I just lift up you. I praise you. But if we ain't very careful, we get to looking at the rubbish. We get to looking at those little old things, those little imperfections that we may have in that home. Amen. And part of it's me and you. Amen. But we begin to look at that. Praise God. And we begin to realize, praise God, He's a great big God of glory that's given us so much to be thankful for. I got to thinking the other day, Brother Rex, I jotted some of these down. I was thinking about that unending laundry basket. Huh? I got to think that laundry basket, it's bottomless. You can do and you can finish, you can put them all in, you get them washed, you get them clean, you get them hung up, and the next day, you start all over again. And especially you that's got, Sister Misty, bless your heart, with all them youngs, family your size. I can't even imagine Grandma Massey when she had her and Grandpa and 12 youngins. And she wore out many a scrub board. They didn't have electric dry washers and dryers. You throw them. But I got to think about it. I was doing the laundry. I took a load out and I was putting it up. I said, man, this is a bunch of rubbish. But see what? I began to think about it. I began to look beyond the rubbish. I said, we need to look beyond the rubbish and we need to see the glory of God. I said, glory to God. These are nice and clean. And we're going to fold them up nice and neat. We're going to press them, whatever we need. And we're going to put them away so that tomorrow, one of our family members, pray God, is going to get up and they're going to put them on. They're going to be fresh and clean and feel good about themselves. Amen. Glory be to God. So see that unending laundry. Amen. If we ain't careful, we can let it become rubbish or we can let it become glory to God. Amen. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. Amen. Just leave me alone. I'm having a good time out here. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we just realize, praise God, it's all for, He says, do all things to the glory of God. Amen. What we do, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we take so much for granted. There's a lot of little old youngins out there that go along in one pair of dirty clothes. It's all they got. And if they get washed, they take them off, wash them, and put them right back on. Amen. But the rubbish in our lives. Amen. The rubbish in our spouse. We get to looking at it. You get to looking at the rubbish that's in your spouse, and you look at him and you say, I wish he would straighten up it. I don't know why he has to do that. That sorry rascal, he just pick up after himself. Huh? That sorry no account scoundrel. He knows I hate that. All he wants to watch is Fox News. Huh? But praise God, if we begin to look past that rubbish, hello? And we begin to see God in them. Amen. And we say, Lord, help me to be the kind of person I need to be that I can bring out glory in them. That I can make that person who's my mate, who's my loved one, praise God, the more like you. Praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? He said, you're looking beyond the rubbish and you're seeing the glory of God. Nehemiah was hooked up with something here. He realized, praise God, you got to look past the rubbish. Don't look past the rubbish pile that you might see the glory of God in all its manifestation. Praise God. So with that wife, look at that husband and said, honey, I'm so proud of you. I love you. Thank God for you. Amen. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate all that you do. Glory to God. It makes a difference when we get past the rubbish. Praise the Lord. You get past that rubbish in your Christian walk. Those things that so easily beset you. Amen. You get past that and you say, you know what? All that old junk out here, those old stuff is so easily beset me that caused me to stumble. Praise God. I'm just going to pray, God, just help me to be vigilant. Lord, open my eyes that I might see. And then you begin to walk around in your Christian life, praise God, and you start seeing those stumps, that rubbish that's in the way. Amen. You start going by and kicking it out of the way. Amen. That ain't going to get on me. Praise God. I'm going to live for you. You know that 52-day challenge that you've been trying to live? Amen. And some of us have been trying to live. You get about 2 weeks into it and you said, oh, Lord, what have I got myself into? This is so hard. But then, I don't know about you, but about now, I've about figured out, you know what? I can do this. Amen. I've got a great big helper who has all power in heaven and earth. And praise God, He walks before me. And as I go along, Brother Rutch, he said, there's some refuge. Amen. There's some of that old rubbish. Oh yeah, Lord, thank you. Amen. And if I don't see it, Brother Charles, you know what he does? He kicks it out of the way for me. Amen. Why? Because I'm just trusting in Him now. I put Jeff in the closet. I put him on the back burner. I said, you just get on there and you follow her. And that's what the good shepherd does anyway. We follow him. That's what sheep do. They follow her. Amen. I know his voice. He speaks to me. I hear him. Amen. So what I do, I just begin to walk that Christian walk for the glory of God. Amen. Kicking that rubbish out of the way. Looking beyond the rubbish. Because see, if we ain't careful, we'll get our eyes focused on that rubbish, and that rubbish will consume us. And we say, my goodness, there's so much of that between here and heaven. How will I ever get through that? But see, we got to focus not on the rubbish, but we got to look beyond the rubbish and see the portals of glory. Brother Billy, we got to look in heaven. Man, we got to look at heaven. Because that's where we're headed. Amen. And just looking beyond the rubbish. How do we do that? Amen. With these burdens, the impossibilities that we have. But I'm going to say there's nothing impossible with God. Just look beyond the rubbish and look to Him. You say, well, how do you do that? Let me give you about three ways to do that right quickly. Amen. Number one, you quit your rebellion. Quit rebelling against God. Amen. That's all sin is. That's all inactivity. That's all apathy. That's all paralyzation. That's all discouragement is. Praise God, it's just rebellion against God. Amen. So number one, look beyond the rubbish and just look to God and quit your rebellion. Quit rebelling against God. Just say, Lord, here I am. Amen. Help me, please. Amen. Not only rebellion, but get rid of your pride. Amen. Those things that would rise up. Those things that would make you say, but God. Amen. Don't but God. That's what goats do. What we do is say, yes, Lord. Amen. Not only rebellion, but the pride. We've got to put pride behind us. We've got to get rid of it. Amen. We got to get to the point, praise God, if we mess up, if we sin against a brother, sister, Christ, bring them to us. Hey, Brother X, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I said something. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sorry if I thought I hurt you. I'm sorry. Amen. But we can do that if we got to get rid of the pride in our life. Amen. For God's glory. Amen. Not only the rebellion and the pride, but the disillusionment. The disillusionment that we have. That it can't be no better. Amen. Disillusionment. It says, you know what? And if we ain't careful, I'm afraid I've had a tendency to make you think, well, you know what? The Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse in the end. So you get this mindset. Well, and maybe a lot of our children, well, it ain't going to get no better. Hey, but listen, for a child of God, it's going to be a whole lot better. Amen. Praise God. For a child of God, it's going to get better and better. And in the end, we won't have to go through some hardships and some trials. Praise God, but we got to look beyond the rubbish, Lord God, and look to the glory of God. And I know what you're saying. These folks right here now, tonight, and you're saying, well, preacher, you just don't realize the night that I'm in. You don't realize this deep valley I'm going through. No, but God does. Nehemiah even gives us an example of that. It says over here, he says, I went out by night in verse 13. He said, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port. Amen. He said, hey, Nehemiah said, it was pretty dark when I went out too. He said, it's pretty dark when I went down there to view and see what was going on. It's a pretty dark time. It's a pretty dark night. He said, I had to go to the lowest part of the valley. I mean, that may be where you're at. It may be a darkness time. It may be a valley time. But praise God, I know the God of the night. I know the God of the valley. And if we'll look beyond the rubbish, praise God, we can see the glory. Amen. It's just right over yonder. Praise God. Right on the other side of the biggest rubbish heap you ever did see. Called life in this world. Amen. But right on the other side of life in this world is glory unseen. Praise God. So all we got to do is just focus beyond the rubbish. Get the rubbish out of the way. And let the good God of glory have His way tonight. Amen? That's what we have to do. Nehemiah said, hey, listen. He said, you know what, youngins? He said, I know it's just great. I know it's hard. But he said, just look beyond the rubbish. Nehemiah said, he looked beyond the rubbish and he saw the glory of God. You know what he did? He saw, he had a vision and he saw a wall finished. Amen? When he started out, he saw that wall, the foundation and the stones for the foundation beyond the rubbish. But when it was all said and done, praise God, he saw that wall finished for the glory of God. Amen. But in order to see that, he had to look beyond the rubbish. Amen. Listen, youngs, we've got to look beyond the rubbish that we can see the glory of God. Amen. I'm looking for the glory of God. You say, well, how do you do it? I'm looking for the goodness of God in everything that He does. Amen. So that I can give Him all the praise and the glory that He deserves because He is my God. And listen to that. He's your God too. And He loves you and He cares for you. And He says, what you need to do tonight is just look beyond the rubbish. Don't focus on that rubbish around, the rubbish of life. Praise God, He said, but look at the wall. He said, look at that finished product. Think about what God wants to do for you. Amen. See, God said one day in a little while, we're resurrected, He's going to present us to Himself without spot or blemish or any such thing. Amen. That's what He wants to do for us tonight. But all we got to do is look beyond the rubbish and look to see what we can be. In the eyes of a holy God.